a pepperoni pizza for the table.
Thank you.
And may I suggest trying it with our Pepsi Zero Sugar? It has just the right amount of sweetness to complement all that cheesy, saucy goodness, while the carbonation and notes of citrus enhance the flavor profile. Simply divine.
Pepsi Zero Sugar? You've really outdone yourself this time. Pizza deserves Pepsi.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To the south of France, to my good colleague Simon Constable, who lives in paradise but reports routinely on the rest of us trying to imagine a future without the south of France. Everybody's so happy there as opposed to the distemper that we meet in the civilized world. Right now, the upset is everywhere. In Europe, and certainly in America, in Eurasia, there's reason to believe that we're all addressing the problems, but we're going to begin with good news, which is springtime in the south of France. Simon, a very good day to you. Before we get to the heavy lifting, my weather here in southern New England has been unusually chilly, bright, blue during the day, but I put on a coat again in the morning and worn a wool cap, wandering around the fields between 6 and 7 a.m. How is it with you in paradise?
Well, it's good day to you, John. It's absolutely lovely today. But before we get on to the specifics of today, let me go back to yesterday and the day before. We've had some deluge of rain and thunder and lightning over the last couple of days, not today. All the fields around us are run by farmers, and there are deep gullies around them, and they filled up. They're about a meter deep, these gullies, and they filled up in basically one or 2 hours. All the water just went in there. It was absolutely deluging everything. It was really quite shocking for this time of year. It's normally really quite hot and dry with a light breeze. It was very interesting. However, today we're back to, it's a light breeze, a little bit of cloud, and great temperatures. 65 Fahrenheit was the high, and the low 50 Fahrenheit, which is not a bad temperature to wake up in.
All right, so you're bragging now. Let's get on to the part where we have to worry about shortages. I'll begin with the bourgeois commodities, not energy, because there's been alarm at the Financial Times that there's a coffee problem. Can you see it in the prices?
Absolutely, we can see it in the prices. So coffee is now $3.70 per pound, multiply it by 4 or 5 times that for what you'll pay, and that's up 68% on the year. This has been going on for a number of years now, it seems like, and we've got cocoa as well, now pushing back ahead of $10,000. So it's $10,559 per metric ton, and that's up 42% on the year. Those two look like they're not going anywhere downward, which is not good for those of us that like hot chocolate or coffee. Really not very good. And I think there may be a long time before either of those really settle into a more stable situation.
I don't know. It looks to me like the coffee is going to be high for a long time. And we both know they never reduce prices, even when they get it cheaper.
That is absolutely true. Going through the others, there's some good news for consumers here. Brent crude is now $66 per barrel. That's a little higher than West Texas Intermediate, and that's down 19% on the year. And that's very good for Europe, where Brent is the benchmark. TTF, which is the European, basically the European price for natural gas, which basically rules your electricity, that's 38 euros per megawatt hour, down 11% on the year. Again, good for Europe, which is going to be good for a lot of other countries too. Lithium, that's down 40% on the year. That's an indication that there's not that much demand for lithium, which is needed for lithium ion batteries in electric cars. Copper is down. It's not gone up really as high as we would want it to, because that would be a very strong economy. It's $4.66 per pound. Iron ore seems to always be static at around $100 per metric ton. Wheat at $5.51 per bushel, and that's down 21% over the last year. And we did the others, which were, you know, other than you know, coffee and cocoa, there's orange juice, and that's down 44% on the year at $2.59 per pound. I would say that that will continue to come down, which will be great for people who like orange juice for breakfast.
We turn from commodities, where there doesn't seem to be any alarm right now. The energy prices reduced. It's like a tax cut for everybody. We turn to inflation, because the concern is the tariff wars that are continuing underway will lead to inflation. Don't need to wait. Financial Times, the pink newspaper out of London. UK inflation jumps to 3.5% in April. Higher than expected, goes the subhead. Higher than expected rise leads traders to price in just one rate cut in the next 12 months. Now, the part of this that I like is a quote from Rachel Reeves, who is the Chancellor of the Exchequer. That's the Secretary of the Treasury, a very powerful post in London. And her remark was, don't blame us, blame the previous administration. That's helpful, Simon. Now, listen, I read this inflation number as influenced by the rise of taxes. Something we don't hear much here. Is that routine for governments to explain the inflation number on the basis of, well, you're paying more for, and then the highway, the telly, the dentist's office? Is that something that you've heard all your life?
No, it isn't, and certainly not when the economy is growing slowly. What you would normally put up taxes of any sort during a period when the economy was what they call overheating, which is, i.e., growing too fast to be sustainable and might cause inflation. Instead, they're raising taxes at a time when the economy has, you know, no extra space for dealing with taxes. So they've done this all wrong, in my view, and putting these new taxes in and then blaming people from what's almost a year ago, what was happening. You know, that doesn't seem very grown up. You can blame, you know, basically you can blame Russia, you can blame the opponents that you won against, which was the Tory party. But sooner or later, you have to say, well, actually, it's our fault. And we're not seeing Rachel Reeves do that. I don't think we ever will. I think that's really going to be a bad situation for them when the next general election comes up. But putting taxes up when the economy's weak, really bad idea. Any country, believe me.
The question for the BOE will be whether they judge a hefty share of April's acceleration was driven by erratic or one-off factors. That would be taxes. That are one-off factors, or whether there are signs that underlying inflation remains too hot. That's the BOE that's going to reduce only one cut this year. And the Reeves comment is priceless. I want to go to it. We are a long way from the double-digit inflation we saw under the previous administration, but I'm determined that we go further and faster to put more money in people's pockets. Does she mean it, Simon?
Well, she might mean it, but I don't know how that's going to be possible when you're increasing the level of taxes. That puts less money in people's pockets. I really don't see that. I mean, one of the things that Michael Lewis said about Britain, it's the home of limp paychecks. So if you up this a bit, nobody's going to be spending money, and that means that businesses aren't going to be doing it as well, and so they won't give raises to their employees. It's a circular thing, and it's going in the wrong direction. You really want an American situation where when companies do better, their employees do better, and that's a good situation. She might believe it, but she'd be deluded if she keeps believing it, in my view.
Labour has an overwhelming majority in Parliament. Overwhelming. It's impossible to imagine there being an election any sooner than 5 years. So Labour is going to dictate the direction of Britain. Okay, accepting that, Labour is led unusually by Keir Starmer, who continues to make mistakes and stumble. The positive way, he's learning in office. But the recent polling suggests that the British citizens who put him into power are impatient with him. Simon, what is the reputation of Mr. Starmer and Labour now that they've so firmly in control? How are they judged on the by the men and women in the street?
Well, not well. I mean, there's a word going around calling Keir Starmer. Sorry, Stalin, not Keir Starmer, Keir Stalin, as in Stalin, the great dictator of the Soviet Union in up until the 50s. I mean, really bad situations, mean with money, mean with free speech, not really liked, doing things that really aren't helping. You really want to serve something up really nice to your electorate when you first get in office, and they've done the absolute opposite. The other thing that I'm not seeing in Parliament at the moment is anyone really going after him. There is this killer instinct when you are the leader of the opposition, and the opposition is the second largest group in Parliament. It's not just anyone who's against you. You're supposed to slam the ball in the back of the soccer net and really show that you have a killer instinct as the leader of the opposition. And we're not seeing that either. We saw that under Labour with Jeremy Corbyn. And he wasn't doing it. He was incapable of doing it. Really, not good. You need to see the opposition doing that. It makes everybody better and perform better, including the Prime Minister. Not seeing that is really bad.
Yes, we come to a London Times story. Bad news for Kemi Badenoch as Tories fall behind Lib Dems in polls. This is extraordinary. Kemi Badenoch is the leader of the Conservatives, who heretofore have been assumed to be the opposition, but reform positions, reform is Nigel Farage's new party. Reform positions itself as the natural party of the right as support for the Conservatives falls to the lowest level since Theresa May's final day in office. It goes on to say that reform, which has been leading the polls since April, increased its lead over Labour by 7 points to 29%. These are polls, opinion polls, approval polls. This isn't voting in a vote. The Lib Dems were in third place. The Tories were only 16%, and the Green Party was 10. So it's fourth. The Conservatives are fourth. And Simon, that is astonishing to me. Is it?
It is astonishing. It's astonishing to everybody. I mean, the Conservative Party have been around very successful for a very long time in the UK, and it's well regarded as a party that would get things done and would listen to the core values of the country. It's gone. That has disappeared. I don't think it ever comes back. And the one thing I would say, talking to people, you know, off the record, I'm basically hearing that the only thing Nigel Farage, as head of the Reform Party, Reform UK, has to do is absolutely nothing until the next election, which I think he will win by a landslide.
The Reform only has a handful of seats in Parliament, but it polls extremely well for approval ratings. In addition, Farage is always talking about the number of people who've signed up as Reform Party members so that they can vote in local elections. And it now exceeds and has for some time the number of Tories. Now, Simon, the Tory message is very clear on this side of the Atlantic. They're conservatives. They believe that the government should stay out of our business. This is private. They also believe in growth, and they believe in capitalism. I can't say any of those things are naturally for Labour. So the puzzle is, did the British people want this when they voted Labour so overwhelmingly?
There's a big difference between what the Labour Party promised and what they're delivering. So what they promised during the general election was really quite, quite different from what they are delivering now. So there were a lot of talk about, we're not going to raise taxes, we're not going to soak the middle class with new charges and stuff like that. And then they basically came into the office and said, oh, we found something that the previous government did, and we're therefore undoing all our promises. So that's what's happened. And people feel really conned by the Labour Party.
Simon Constable in the south of France, writing for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and other distinguished publications, including Fox News and Fox Business. When we come back, the future of Britain, the future of Europe and energy. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
At Byers Airport Subaru, we've been family-owned since 1897. built on trust, transparency, and the best customer experience, all conveniently located by the airport. We take pride in treating every customer like family because that's what has kept us around for generations.
Drive home a new 2025 Subaru Forester Hybrid for 4.9% for up to 36 months.
Start your journey today at columbussubaru.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.
See dealer for details. Offer ends 6/2/25.
Miss, your burger is served.
Thank you.
And if I may suggest a pairing, this is our finest Pepsi Zero Sugar. The sweetness of Pepsi perfectly balances the savory notes of your burger, while the citrus and carbonation elevates the taste for a truly stunning flavor profile. Bon appétit.
Now that is one perfect combination. If this is how the other half lives, I could get used to this. Burgers deserve Pepsi.
Did you know that many products for pregnant women do not have their own clinical trials for safety or efficacy? That's because pregnant women are often excluded from clinical studies. Ritual is aiming to set a new standard with their essential prenatal multivitamin. It's the number one best-selling prenatal and the only leading prenatal backed by its own human clinical trial. Essential Prenatal is proven to deliver key nutrients, including folate, biotin, and vitamin D during pregnancy. Moms taking Essential Prenatal had a lower overall cortisol level during pregnancy than those taking a leading prenatal. Plus, it's designed to be gentle on the stomach. Ritual doesn't just have your back. They have the receipts. Get 25% off at ritual.com/clinical. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.